Good afternoon. Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church of Cranberry. We are so glad you're here. I am Pastor Hannah, and on behalf of Pastor Hannah and myself and Pastor Lou and the outreach committee of this congregation and the whole congregation, we welcome you. We are so excited to share this concert with you. This concert is free. It is a gift from the congregation to you, a gift from the Urban Promise International Fellows, all to the glory of God. And so we hope you enjoy it. We hope this is a joy-filled time of learning, of story, of song, maybe even some dancing on your part. You have permission to do that here, despite what the walls might say. And we hope it is joy-filled, simply joy-filled. You will, however, have an opportunity to donate to the work of Urban Promise International before the concert is over, if that is something you are so moved to do. So know that that is coming, and checks would be made payable to Urban Promise International. So, but that is for later. For now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to Nadia Vanderkoop, who is the director of Urban Promise International, also a drum player and a bus driver. And so many of us were here this morning for worship. It's going to be wonderful. So without further ado.
Good afternoon. Just as the fellows come up, I want to share a little bit about Urban Promise and Urban Promise International. As the choir comes up. Urban Promise is a ministry actually based in Camden, not too far away from here, about an hour south. Camden started 30 years ago by Dr. Bruce Main, who was recruited by Tony Campolo to run a summer camp. And he ran his first summer camp and thought, I need to do more for the city of Camden. Camden is well known for their poverty, for their poor school systems, and kids were just sort of roaming the streets. And so they started an after-school program, and that grew to 2, 3, 4. Now we run 6 after-school programs. We have our own elementary school, middle school, high school for kids. Michael worked at our high school there. We have food co-op, a wellness center. All we do is to serve the families and youth of Camden, to get them into school, to get them into college, to help them live a more holistic life. What was happening is that Urban Promise is run by these college-age interns who would come for a summer or a year, come to serve the kids, serve the city of Camden, and they were going back to their communities all around the world and starting like-minded ministries. I came in 1997 and went back and started the first Canadian branch of Urban Promise. There was one in Toronto, one in Vancouver, Wilmington. Those all started in the late 90s. And about 10 years ago, we had a Malawian walk through our doors, just showed up one day and said, I want to serve here. And we let him serve. He's like, I got to take this back to Malawi. And so that's how Urban Promise International was born. To date, we have 5 ministries in Malawi serving nearly 3,000 kids. We have sites in Uganda and Liberia. We're starting Kenya. We have sites in Honduras and all up and down the east coast of the U.S., Charlotte, Miami, Arkansas, Wilmington, Trenton, not far away. But our whole mission is to serve children and youth that are in under-resourced areas. So the fellowship, my job, which is a great job, is to go find young leaders who are already doing amazing things around the world. And you're going to get to hear their stories and where they're from. These are young leaders who were already making a difference in their community and just needed more resources and time and energy and education to know how to run their ministries better. And so they come and they stay with me. They leave their family and friends for 2 years. They come and they live in Camden, which is not Hollywood America, which is what they've seen on TV. Camden is not that, so it's a little bit of a shock. And they come and serve. And so what we're going to do today is share our songs and stories and teach you a little bit more about the work of Urban Promise International. But now I'm going to let Justine lead us in our first song.
Hello. We are so blessed to be with you here. Thank you for welcoming us. So the first song that we are going to do today is originally from South Africa, But we like to sing it in Uganda and Malawi and parts of different African nations. The song is called Tambira Jehovah. It simply means, come, let's dance to the Lord. So at this moment, I would like to request you to stand with us, please. And feel free to clap and dance with us, or just join along with what we do. Be blessed.
All right, we'll give you a break. You can sit down. That was your warm-up song, just so you know. There's going to be stomping later, a little bit of turning around, so just prepare yourselves. But what we want to do right now is have each of our fellows introduce themselves. So tell us your name and your country, if you've been here 1 year or 2 years. If you've been here 2 years, what you're going back to do. I can't do this.
My name is Janet. I come from Uganda. I've been here for 2 years, and I'm going back home to work with children.
Hi, everyone. My name is Millie. I come from Uganda. It's my first year.
Good afternoon. My name is Providence, and I'm from Malawi. This is my second year. I'll be going back home. In July,
maybe,
and And I'll be going back to one of the existing ministries for Urban Promise in Malawi to work as the operations director.
So Providence, why don't you tell people a little bit. This morning we realized that people thought we were sort of a professional African gospel choir. We're really not. We have a lot of fun together and we have a lot of fun staying. They're obviously gifted, but you're here for a different reason. So maybe share a little bit about the fellowship.
All right. So all of us standing in front of you here, we come from different African countries. We come here through a fellowship program with Urban Promise International. So this fellowship program allows us to go to school at Eastern University in Pennsylvania and get a master's degree in organizational leadership. And 2 weeks ago, some of us graduated. Could you just raise your hand? So we graduated and we're all going back home to do different things. So the program, as some of us are in the second year, others are in their first year, and we get to go to school at Eastern, and also we get to work in Camden and also Wilmington, Delaware, with kids in the after-school program. And this allows us to get to know and understand the American culture better and serve so that we should get the knowledge as we go back to our own countries to serve kids. The fellowship also gives us a chance to meet people and connect and find support for different programs in different countries in Africa.
My name is Vanessa. I am from Malawi. This is my first year.
My name is Justine. I'm from Uganda. This is my first year.
My name is Emily. I'm from Malawi, and this is my first year.
My name is Kenneth. I'm from Malawi, and this is my first year.
My name is Kenneth. I go by Ken. I'm from Uganda. This is my first year.
My name is Chikondi. I'm from Malawi. This is my second year, and I'll be going back June 8th to start a new program with one of the ministries in Malawi. We call it Rise Malawi Ministries.
Chico, before you pass it, can you share a little bit about what exactly your program is going
to be? My program will be, so we already learned like after school program, we have high school, and then my program is coming in to work with our youth, especially students that are graduating from our high school. So in Malawi, basically we have 1 year gap when students graduate from high school, they don't go straight to college. They wait for a year. So I'll be like working with those, especially mentoring and doing livestock farming with them as they get prepared either to go to college or even find some business or whatever in the community.
Hi, my name is Peter and I come from Uganda. I leave 15th June to go back to Uganda.
Awesome. So these are our fellows for this year. After spending two years with them, I'm not that eager to let them go back, even though I know they're going to do amazing things. So the ones that graduate are going back in June and July, and the new cohort, my new students, are coming in August. So this time next year I'll have 6 new ones as well as the ones that you heard here that are first years. I think we have a couple more songs and then we'll hear Peter's story. So.
Yes.
Wow, that's three.
I hope that got your blood flowing. You guys got some stomping. One of the things that people maybe don't realize is the amazing work that God is already doing around the world that we don't hear about, that we don't see. Sometimes our news is totally flooded with the terrible things that are happening in the world. And so what we like to do at Urban Promise is to look at for hope and potential. And Peter, when I first heard about Peter, It was from one of his professors from Uganda Christian University. She emailed me. She said, I heard about your program. I've got a guy for you. And I get a lot of emails about a lot of men and women wanting to come to the U.S. And so sometimes you have to take it with a grain of salt. She says, this is a guy who comes from a village outside of the capital, quite a few hours away. I think it took us 6 hours to drive there. Who graduated from university, is the first to graduate from high school, first to graduate from university in his family. He's gone back to this little village that had no school and built a high school. So already I'm kind of intrigued. And then she goes, not only does he do that, he supports 30 orphans to go to primary school. I thought, okay. Not only does he do that, but he runs a microcredit loan program for widows so that they can work themselves out of poverty. I'm like, all right, I'm in. I'm flying to Uganda. We're going to go meet this guy. And I got in a car and drove forever into this little... And then as you come over this mountaintop, literally, you come over... And you look down into a village that is mostly mud huts, and you see this bright blue roof. And my driver says, that's Peter's high school. And I was like, this is going to be amazing. So, Peter, tell us a little bit about why you started your high school, and more importantly, why you feel like microloans are the way for your village to kind of get themselves out of poverty.
As long as I was... understanding as a child, my mom was the breadwinner, even though I had a dad by then. And she was the one making sure that we eat food, even when we would be told to go back home from school to collect tuition. I would go and tell my mom, even when my dad was there. Unfortunately, later my dad passed on. But the biggest burden of raising us at home was the responsibility of my mom. And culturally, in Uganda, children belong to women. Our mothers are the one that make sure that we have food and we go and get treatment when we are sick. They make sure that we sleep under a bed cover if they can afford it. They're the ones, if they call for a meeting at school, they're the ones that actually attend. For some reason, some dads actually forget the names of their children. Pretty sad. And that is how it started. And so many women are there with potential in our community, but they do not have the opportunity to get out of it. When I went to college and I did social work as my degree, I decided to go back to my village and try to mitigate this household poverty. And I thought having women start businesses is the only way how we are going to give them the voice to speak in their marriages. Is the only way how it's going to empower them to actually provide those basic needs to their children, because they are the ones that bear the most burden. And we started a microcredit group that brings 7 women in a group, those who face the same challenges, to work together, to do businesses like agriculture, to do businesses like second-hand clothes, to do businesses like roadside cafes, selling those petty community-found commodities to their friends and families, to raise money to support their children. And they have done it. They have improved livelihoods. bringing these women who did not go to school into the economic force, it is changing lives because their husbands are running for other women, because their husbands are going to drink alcohol, because their women, I mean husbands, they are going to play betting, sports betting. When you bring people who are facing the similar challenges together, healing takes place. These women are doing incredible things. When I got a chance to come here, Urban Promise has equipped me with a master's degree in organizational leadership. It has given me people that are going to work with me, to support me, to ensure that we can extend these opportunities to more women, to more households. Lives are changing just because we can identify those people in need and we can empower them. These women are doing great. And that's how we can provide a high school such that they don't have any excuse for not taking their children to school. And lives are changing. Thank you so much.
As you can see, my job's pretty easy. I just go find amazing people and I bring them here. Peter, one of the things I was struck by when I went to visit your ministry 3 years ago, I guess now, was that the community itself had sort of bought into it. You know, it wasn't a North American flying in and being the savior. It was one of their own that was raised in that village who had come back and built into that village. How did that happen, and how did you get the community, who was mostly illiterate, didn't send their kids to school, get behind something like a high school?
Trust is a very key thing, even when you come from the village. We are growing up in an era where we have so many politicians. And politicians, their responsibility is to make sure that you believe what they say. Not what they will do, but what they say. And my team and I, our responsibility is actually to ensure that we teach these people what the problem is and what the solution is together. And when they are part of that process, they are into it. When they know that we don't have a school, and they say we need a school, going into a process of saying how do we have the school, if they are part of that process, I am telling you, they woke up there very early in the morning, they came, we fetched water, we dug down the anthills together, we produced bricks together. They provided food themselves. We got one of them cook for them together. And we produced 70,000 bricks out of that. And that is how that blue roof, huge building, that's how it started. And they trust us. We are not doing it for a community somewhere. This is where I have grown up. This is where I live. This is where my life belongs.
Urban Promise is about changing the narrative about how we look at missions work, overseas missions work. Our model is investing in local leaders who are already inspiring change, who will go back and transform their communities. We don't need to do it. They are already doing it. We just need to get behind them. There's a story that Bruce and I often share in Malawi. You know, we have both been fortunate enough to travel there to see the work that's happening. And right when you fly into the capital of Malawi, Lilongwe, you drive past a patch of land. And about 6-7 years ago, there's a big sign that said, Madonna's school coming soon. And we thought, oh, you know, Madonna had adopted Malawian kids. She had raised a bunch of money from her celebrity friends, $4 million. They were going to build this awesome school, kind of like Oprah did in South Africa. Madonna was going to do this in Malawi. We were excited. We thought, great, no problem. We kept driving another few miles to the village that Urban Promise was working at, where Providence is going to go back. And we had raised about $10,000, and we had managed to put together a two-classroom block in a little village that didn't have a school, very similar to Peter's. $10,000. We had begged all our friends, you know, just give us a few thousand dollars, we're going to build this school. We built the school for $10,000. We had about 40 kids that first year. Next year, closer to 100. Built another school block, a couple hundred. Now we have 400, I don't want to say that, 450 kids at Mercy Care High School. If you go to Malawi now, you get off the plane a long way, you drive past where that sign, that Madonna, all you see is a sterile, barren land. What had happened was, like Peter said, the politicians got Land Rovers, and the consultants came in to check on the land. They took land from the neighboring villagers and brought in sterile soil. And then all of the $4 million just disappeared somewhere into somebody's pocket. $10,000 investment, 450 kids just down the road. And that's what we're about. We're about finding those right leaders and putting the resources behind them, because they are the ones that affect change. And I guarantee you will hear about these guys in years to come in their countries, because that is the kind of change that they will affect, because they're passionate, they're part of their community, and they believe, above all, that God has called them to this path. And so I really encourage you, as we finish and have a reception, that you come and talk to these remarkable young leaders, because they are the ones that are going to change their communities and their world. So we appreciate you, and we're going to have them come back up and share a few more songs.
Comes from Uganda in the local language called
Ask Chico and Janet to join me up here. We had the blessing of having lunch across the street at Hannah Michael's house, and we had a great chat with several people from this church, and Miss Doris said, I hope you talk about life in Africa. And I thought, oh yeah, we should probably add that. So Chico and Janet are going to share a little bit about life in Malawi and Uganda. I'm going to start with Chico. So Chico, tell us a little bit about maybe even where Malawi is. What are some of the challenges facing Malawi, and what you think is important going back for you?
Malawi is found in southern east of Africa. It's a small country and is bounded by Tanzania to the north and Zambia to the west, and then south is Mozambique. So we're just at the middle of these three main countries. In Malawi, basically, a good population of people, like 85%, they live in rural Malawi, where they depend on agriculture. And the people that don't think about, you know, like saving money or whatever, what they think or focus is to find food for the day. And it's not like find food for 2 years to come or 3 months, but what they should get today and eat. That's most of the population focus on. So it's a big challenge, and Malawi has experienced a lot of starvation and hunger almost each and every year. And it's a big deal to most of the families, and most young people, children and youths drop out of school because most of families, they can't manage to support their kids in school, especially in high school when it comes to tuition. In Malawi, high school is not for free. It's very expensive. And most families, they find like, they live like $2 below a day. And it's so challenging for them to support their families academically. As a result, a lot of young people drop at middle school, that's it. So it's really hard to see all these things happening. And I believe education is the best solution in most of these families to break the poverty cycle, to see their families, right, to see young people are flourishing and developing their own communities. It's through education. So education in Malawi is not a right, but it's a privilege. Those who can have money or support, they're able to go and proceed. But those who can't, then they're still expanding the poverty cycle in their families.
So Chico is an interesting, he's our first fellow that actually was raised up through one of our ministries. You came as a teenager to one of our ministries. They helped you go through college. Now you're here getting a master's. You have a unique story. You're one of seven, only one to go to college, obviously the only one to get a master's. What does your education mean for your family back home?
So for me, as your Nadia said, I'm the only person in my entire family line, nobody has been to college. So I was the first to graduate from high school and then college, and now I have a master's. My dad, my mom didn't go to school. My siblings, they dropped out of school, they got married, they have kids and all that. It was really interesting for me because I had to take a year out and work in Tobago State and save money and pay my tuition in high school. And some people just supported and come along the way, and that I saw God through that. So to me, getting all this education, it means giving me power or position of influence in my community. It means everyone will be looking upon me in terms of decision making or development issues on how we can make a difference in the community. So it's a blessing. It means a lot of responsibility. A lot of young people are looking upon me to see or to make things happen in the communities. So it means a lot for me.
And should people come to Malawi and visit?
Exactly. You should come to Malawi and visit. We have a lot of things going on in Malawi with Urban Promise, like six sites. Each site serves about like, you know, 500 or 600 kids throughout the year. We have a lot of things. Malawi is one of the most peaceful countries in southern Africa. And at the same time, Malawi is the poorest country in the world. So please come and see, because at the same time, you'll be you know, you can't stay the same. You'll be challenged, but at the same time, it can also be, you know, an opportunity for you to do something better.
Thank you, Chico. So we've heard about the warm heart of Africa, Malawi. Now you can tell us about the pearl of Africa, Uganda. Tell us a little bit about Uganda, some of the struggles Uganda has faced in recent years, some of the challenges that you see.
Thank you for the opportunity. Uganda is in East Africa, and it has 34 million people for now, and the biggest percentage is youth and children. Uganda has got, in Uganda, education system is not free, unlike Malawi, where at least they have elementary school free. In Uganda, from kindergarten until you finish, you're supposed to pay your tuition. So it's a struggle for most of the children, or most of the families, to send children to their to schools. So the most people are illiterate because they can't afford to send their children to school. And then we have a challenge, or we had a challenge, it is still going on, of HIV and AIDS, where most of the like parents who are supposed to be my parents, have died because of HIV and AIDS, leaving so many orphans in the hands of grandparents, and those who don't have grandparents left with no one, and they find caretakers, or caretakers come and take them on to help them, support them with the little they can afford. And then we had wars. Some time back we had a war where so many children died and were forced to join the army when it was out of their will. So it affected the country so much. But the good news is God has restored the joy of Uganda by providing people like Peter, people like me, and so many others who can come in and support the children, who can bring hope to the children and the communities.
So I am biased a little bit here. The women that you see, all the women, Malawi and Uganda, are part of the 2% of the populations of their country that actually graduated college. So the fact that they have a master's puts them, I don't know, 0.0001% of their country. So they're extraordinary, extraordinary women who have overcome extraordinary odds. And maybe you can share a little bit about what it means to go back to Uganda as a woman with a master's degree with time in the U.S.
I'm so grateful for the opportunity through Urban Promise to get a master's degree. That gives me another standard in my community, in my country, where I have a platform to speak and people listen. Women are not taken as a priority in my country. They are considered as second-class citizens, in that even when you want to bring a point on board, no one will listen to you because no one knows you and you have nothing. So having a master's degree gives me a platform to stand and be a role model in a community and speak a point and everyone will listen. Actually, right now, I've not had anyone in my community having a degree, and she's a lady. In my community, I've not had anyone. So I stand out to be one of that, so many I know that has a degree and a master's degree on top of that. So that gives me a chance to speak and be a voice, encourage women, encourage children, encourage girls to stay in school. It's not easy to stay there because some of them do not have tuition. I did not have tuition. I believe they can do it if they have a voice behind them to encourage them and support them.
Of course we should come to Uganda as well, right?
Please. Come to Uganda. It's so beautiful. It's the pearl of Africa. So you'll enjoy so many things, beautiful things. Animals, mountains, etc.
The next song that we're singing is it says, yes, one of these mountains is my kid that you have for me. He has taken me out of the mountains.
Before the choir, you can sit down. Before the choir sings their last song, we are going to take a free will offering. So if you feel so moved in this time, the ushers are going to come forward and receive that offering, which we give to the glory of God for the work of these young peoples, for God's love and grace and light shining through them, and in support of Urban Promise International.
The last song is from Malawi. This song, it says, there's no one like Jesus. I have walked and searched, but I've never found somebody like Jesus. So that's what the song is all about. So we sang in our local language, Chichewa, and then we go to English. So this song, it requires you to stand up because it has a lot of movement. So I would love if you can join us this last song. And the song goes like this. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like He. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like He. I walk everywhere. I turn around everywhere. I say everywhere. There's no one like He. That's the English part. So I would love you if you can stand up, and then when we reach that point, we can do together the movement, right? Are you ready? Thank you.
From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. You all have an opportunity to greet these young people, these fellows, in the fellowship hall, which is right next door, where there is punch and there are cookies, and there is also Urban Promise International merchandise for sale and some gifts from Uganda and Malawi. So please join us over there, and praise be to God.